This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Some cracking content this week. Oh, yes. After last week's insane amount of content dropping, we are back to quality, not quantity. And boy, oh boy, is it quality. So, shall we begin?
Why does everyone ask how I'm feeling?
I got done a huge deal. I got the election. I got ATN. I got plenty on my plate.
He's on the floor, Tom.
Explain to me what he's doing.
He's moseying, terrifyingly moseying. It's like if Santa Claus was a hitman.
We were cut out behind our backs. But there's a shape for things for us.
We partner up with Sandy and Stewie, with Pierce.
Death wrestling ogres.
Excited to get into this knife fight?
Let's blow it up.
The HBO smash hit Succession returns for its 10-episode fourth and final season. The Roy family shit show is back to entertain us for one last hurrah. In this season, the sale of the family's media conglomerate, Waystar Royco, to tech visionary Luke Matson, played by Alexander Skarsgård, moves ever closer. The prospect of this massive sale provokes the usual flip-flopping, backstabbing, and utter madness amongst the Roy tribe, as they anticipate what their lives will look like once the deal is complete. And yes, kicking off one final power struggle. All the gang are back, trying to figure out how to sneak around and rob shit from each other. Team up, break up, stab each other severely in the back. Oh, you gotta love it. Yes, they'll have us absolutely glued to our screens every week for one last run of must-see TV. Who will be the last Roy standing? Folks, it's time to find out. That's Succession Season 4 on HBO in the States on Sunday and Sky Atlantic and Now TV from Monday. Oh boy, oh boy.
The whole time, there was some darkness out there.
Moment that I step outside.
I thought we left it there when we were rescued. But now I realize we brought it back with us.
Everybody's hiding something.
It's happening again, isn't it?
We were careful, right?
And yes, it's a double bill of smash hit series because Yellow Jackets Season 2 returns on Paramount Plus. If you don't know it, this is freaky as hell and I absolutely adore it. 25 years on from a horrific plane crash when they were members of a successful high school girls' soccer team, the survivors still grapple with the events they had to endure. Told in split timelines from the perspective of both current-day adult survivors and the teenagers trapped in the crazy wilderness back in the day, the narrative explores the fallout for those that lived and the horrors that faced those who didn't. Absolutely love it. Season 2 promises to deepen the mystery, explore more of the cannibal cult that developed in the wake of the crash, and meet more of the adult survivors. With a stunning cast, including Christina Ricci, Tawny Cypress, Juliette Lewis, and Melanie Linsky, new faces Lauren Ambrose and Elijah Wood arrive to deal with more crazy. And yes, Yellow Jackets has been renewed for a third season. Again, cannot recommend this show enough. Lord of the Flies, don't ever want to get trapped in the woods with a gang of people. Shady shit going on. Absolutely love it. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. And the flipping between the past and the present. Actors playing each... Oh my God. Oh my God, I tell you, you're going to love it. Yellow Jackets, Season 2, now on Paramount+. Next up, and I'm going to keep this one simple, because Love is Blind Season 4 lands on Netflix with a whole new cast of lunatics, and this time it's set in Seattle. There are so many you-know-who-you-are folks out there drooling and waiting for this So I'll get out of your way immediately, because Love is Blind season 4 is now on Netflix. Enjoy your binge, your weekly, you know, whatever you do watching it. It's just, yeah. Love is Blind season 4. Good luck. And speaking of those listeners who know who they are, if you are an Ever After fan or simply a lover of sexy time movies based on even sexier times pieces of literature, well, have I got the movie for you. Perfect Addiction on Prime Video is based on the very steamy books by Claudia Tan from her Perfect series. And for this one, I'm just going to let you enjoy the plot description. When a successful MMA trainer discovers that her boyfriend, the reigning champion, has been cheating on her with her own sister, she sets out to get revenge by training the one man capable of dethroning him, his arch nemesis. Oh yeah, oh wait, wait, there's more. What begins as payback quickly turns into a complicated, I can't even say complicated, and steamy love triangle. Oh yeah, steamy windows ahoy. You enjoy yourselves, folks. There's a double bill of absolute quality. I'm sure I'll talk to you on Monday. That's Perfect Addiction, now on Prime Video. Everyone to their own. Everyone to their own. We're all God's children. Moving on, in the high concept, absolute nonsense thriller series section, this week we have two absolute crackers, which could be absolute muck, but by definition of being high concept, absolute nonsense thrillers, would be absolute crackers.
Delivery on 30?
Yeah, sign in.
Sure, you mind holding on to that for me? Thanks.
That is a bomb. I have just armed it. Don't move. You move, the bomb detonates. If I hear any alarms or sirens, I detonate the bomb. Understand? Good. I'll be right back.
You need to know what you're getting into. This is not cops and robbers. The enemy is everywhere, but he can't be seen.
So what's it going to be? Are you going to be all heroic and difficult, or are you going to be sensible and help us save the world?
All hail, all rejoice. Kiefer Sutherland is back with a new series called Rabbit Hole on Paramount+. Paramount are having a very good week this week. Sutherland plays John Weir, a corporate espionage contractor who finds himself at the centre of a dark conspiracy when he is framed for murder after he uncovers a dangerous plot by forces with the ability to control populations and subvert democracy. Now on the run, can Weir, a man whose deepest instincts are rooted in mistrust and deception, really trust any of those who are purported to be helping him? Oh, beautiful, beautiful, sweet nonsense. Rabbit Hole drops its first two episodes today and then goes weekly on Paramount+. Oh yes, oh yes, 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 yes. Shoot it into my veins.
Now please stand as I administer your oath.
Welcome to the White House, Peter. Have you ever heard of Night Action? It's a top secret investigative program within the FBI.
So you want me to be a night agent?
God, no. I want you to answer the phone for them. It rarely rings.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm in danger. There's intruders.
What do I do?
It's gonna be all right.
I'm on my way.
We just lost two federal agents. They suspect someone in the White House of being involved.
More beautiful thriller nonsense comes to Netflix in the form of The Night Agent. Gabriel Basso plays a very low-level FBI agent whose completely uneventful job takes a turn as he finds himself plunged into a conspiracy involving, yes, the White House. Oh, here we go again, people. This is my steamy windows. Nonsense thrillers that just make no sense and I'm all in. This series comes with some very high pedigree though, in the form of being adapted from Matthew Quirk's 2019 novel. And who's directing it and the showrunner? None other than Sean Ryan, who gave us the wonderful Vic Mackey and The Shield. Oh, how I loved The Shield back in the day. One of the best, one of the best. All 10 episodes are available to stream now on Netflix. That is The Night Agent. And remember folks, heroes aren't born, they just answer the call. I feel a tattoo coming on In the non-English section this week, we have some interesting drops. For those who watched the extremely popular Brazilian fantasy series Invisible City, season 2 is now on Netflix. In this one, while investigating a murder, a detective is drawn into a battle between the visible world and an underground realm inhabited by magical creatures. As I said, very popular when it first came out. That's Invisible City Season 2 on Netflix. Also on Netflix this week, we have Furies, which is an action-packed Vietnamese prequel to Fury. In this one, three furious vigilantes, see what they did there, unite to take down a sinister crime syndicate that controls the mean streets of 90s Saigon. You'll know if this is your sort of thing. I'm guaranteed there is absolutely crazy action across the board. That is The Furies, now on Netflix. For the smallies out there, this week, We Lost Our Human on Netflix is an intriguing, almost choose-your-own-adventure interactive animated comedy about two indoor pets, a cat named Pud and a dog named Ham, who woke up one day to find that all humans have seemingly disappeared from planet Earth. Defo one to keep them distracted for a few hours. That's We Lost Our Human, now on Netflix. One that's going to get a lot of eyeballs this weekend and a lot of hype, and love it or hate it, I Am Georgina on Netflix is going to have people talking and having a wee nose. The Georgina of the title is Georgina Rodriguez, mom, influencer, business person, and Cristiano Ronaldo's partner. And in this series, she opens the doors and lets the cameras into her everyday life. Oh, to see his big head walking around the place. Well, maybe he's kept to keep him off the camera. But anyway, a lot of people are going to be intrigued by this. That is I Am Georgina, now on Netflix. Over on Apple TV Plus, we have a really intriguing one called My Kind of Country. Yes, it's a musical competition, but differs by breaking down barriers in country music by providing an extraordinary opportunity to diverse and innovative artists from around the world. Scouts Jimmy Allen, Mickey Guyton, and Oliver Peck each handpick a roster of exceptional up-and-coming artists and invite them to the home country of music in Nashville, Tennessee to showcase their unique sound. What does the winner get? Well, it's made by Apple TV, so absolute exposure across all Apple platforms. Could be an intriguing watch. If country's your jam, could be quite popular here. That is My Kind of Country, now on Apple TV Plus. And if music isn't your thing, well, you know we love a good sports talk here. Reggie on Prime Video is a first-hand account of five-time World Series champion, beloved New York icon, and one of baseball's most influential superstars, Reggie Jackson, as he contemplates his legacy as a trailblazing black athlete fighting for dignity, respect, and a seat at the table. Another week, another quality sports documentary. That's Reggie, now on Prime Video.
It was a bunch of people that you could tell really loved each other. It was a very caring environment.
What about these people here?
They think I'm the son of God.
They believed that the end of the world is coming soon and that they were going to be in a battle with the federal government.
They were amassing enough armaments to outfit a small army.
The ultimate goal was to arrest David Koresh and to seize all of the illegal weapons.
911, what's your emergency? 75 men around our building and they're shooting at us at Mount Carmel. Tell them their children and women in here to call it off.
And finally this week we have Waco, American Apocalypse, which is a three-part Netflix documentary series. In Waco, Texas, 1993, cult leader David Koresh faces off against the federal government in a 51-day siege that begins with the biggest gunfight on American soil since the Civil War and ends with a fiery inferno captured live on national television. Released to coincide with the 30th anniversary of this tragedy, this series is directed by acclaimed filmmaker Tiller Russell, who did Night Stalker, and features exclusive access to recently unearthed videotapes filmed inside the FBI's hostage negotiation command post, as well as raw news footage never released to the American public. Should be an absolute massive viewing hit for Netflix. Everybody's going to be bailing in on this one. That is Waco, American Apocalypse, now streaming. And there you go. Pretty decent stuff, if I do say so myself. Oh my god, there's so many places to go. There's high end, there's low end, there's middle. You know what? The world is your oyster this week, folks. The world is your oyster. So bail in there. Enjoy. It is a choose your own streaming adventure. So choose wisely. after streaming, if you just, you know, you want to go for a walk and then go back indoors into a bigger building with more seats, why not try some of this week's pretty interesting cinema releases?
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend.
A new day is dawning. New ideas, new rules, new management.
We've known each other since we were 9 or 10.
Who is this?
The Marquis de Grammont.
Challenge him to single combat. Win or lose, it's a way out.
I don't sit at the table.
Your family does.
Please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family.
A man has to look his best when it's time to get married. Or buried.
I'm going to need a gun.
Yes, batten down the hatches, because Keanu Reeves is back in John Wick Chapter 4. Oh, stop the madness. Oh my god, I can't wait. With the price on his head ever-increasing, legendary hitman John Wick takes his fight against the high table global as he seeks out the most powerful players in the underworld. From New York to Paris to Japan to Berlin. New additions to the cast includes Donnie Yen, Billy Skarsgård and Rina Friggin' Sawayama, and returning cast members include Ian McShane and Lawrence Fishburne. Sadly, and obviously this also features Lance Reddick, who passed away this week in one of his final roles. I've got my IMAX booked for Saturday afternoon. It's 3 hours long. 3 friggin' hours! And I am, as you can tell, absolutely pumped and ready. I love this series, and with its spin-off TV series about the Continental Hotel and its spin-off movie Ballerina starring Ana de Armas about a ballerina assassin. Oh boy. Long live the John Wick verse. Oh yes, people. God. Oh my God. Anyway, John Wick Chapter 4 is now in cinemas. From the sublime to the most ridiculous. Four best friends live life to the fullest when they embark on a wild trip to see their hero, Tom Brady, play in the 2017 Super Bowl. Yes, 80 for Brady is 1,000% not for me. And not because it stars Jane Fonda, Rita Moreno, Lily Tomlin and Sally Field. I am not an ageist because I'm old. But what I am is a patriotist, as I cannot stand the New England Patriots or Tom Brady. I've joint chips on my shoulders, so this would be an absolute mare for me to watch. And yes, this is my New York Jets bitterness coming to the surface, but c'est la vie. For everyone else, 80 for Brady is now in cinemas. Also in cinemas this week, we have Infinity Pool. Now, Mia Gott is back. She's returning again this week with another movie that makes Pearl look like a feckin' romantic comedy. The only way to describe Infinity Pool is if White Lotus was directed by a Cronenberg. And in fact, it is. It's Brandon Cronenberg. In this one, guided by a seductive and mysterious woman, a couple on vacation venture outside the exclusive resort grounds and find themselves in a culture filled with violence and hedonism. A tragic accident soon leaves them facing a zero-tolerance policy for crime. Either you'll be excluded, or if you're rich enough to afford it, you can watch yourself die instead. Heh, what is going on? This is absolutely batshit. I mean, we're talking all aboard the crazy train. Highbrow, uncomfortable horror movie genre. Is there such a thing? No idea. It's all the hallmarks of a Cronenberg horror. Old Brandon didn't lick it off a stone, I tell you. Which means going in, you will either know the shit show that is about to unfold because you're a fan, or if you're just stumbling in blindly and suddenly go, oh, this looks good, you are going to have a very awkward and tense experience. So be prepared for Infinity Pool, which is now in cinemas. And finally in cinemas this week, we have the Spanish-French co-production The Beasts. A middle-aged French couple moves to a local village seeking closeness with nature, where their presence inflames two locals to the point of outright hostility and shocking violence. Having gotten some decent festival buzz, The Beasts is on limited release from this weekend. Anyway, there you go. That's your cinema this week. A smorgasbord of all walks of life there. Very, very bizarro. And then there's John Wick. Woo! Over on the new music fronts, yes, we actually have more new music this week. Very exciting. First up, we have Fall Out Boy, So Much for Stardust. This is their 8th studio album. I do love a bit of emo rock, and this one seemingly has a more upbeat, dancey disco vibe, judging by reviews, which makes me even happier. Pretty excited by this. So much so, I'm even going to rock up to the Workman's Club and go to a listening party, because that's what people do these days. I'll have done it by the time you hear this, but hey, hanging out with the cool kids, with my guy liner on, being moody in the corner, while upbeat, dancey, discoing in the... I love it. That is Fall Out Boy, So Much for Stardust. For the more discerning and mature listeners, not to say Fall Out Boy are not mature, we have Depeche Mode's Memento Mori, which is their 15th studio album. And a lot of people are friggin' hyped for this. So keep an eye out for that. And then finally, Lana Del Rey returns with her 9th studio album called Did You Know That There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard. Already getting extremely ravey reviews. This quieter Del Rey album is most definitely going to be worth a listen. So there you go. That's your music. That's your cinema. That's your streaming. As I said, absolute quality and something for everyone, I do believe. Okay, right, it's time to take a look at the 3 things that caught our eye in pop culture this week. First up, glorious news, Will Sharp, who played Aubrey Plaza's tech millionaire husband Ethan on White Lotus, Italy, is directing a feature film adaptation of Michelle Zauner's 2021 memoir, Crying in H-Mart. Zauner's novel centers around her relationship with her Korean heritage and her mother, who died from cancer in 2014. 2 things here. Crying in H-Mart is an absolutely stunningly beautiful, poignant, heartbreaking book. And if you haven't read it, get to your local bookstore and read it now. But be prepared for extreme cry face, despite it also being wonderfully uplifting. Love that book. It's out in paperback. Gotta give it a read. Second thing, Michelle Zauner is best known as the frontwoman for indie pop band Japanese Breakfast, who have a chilled, relaxing, experimental lo-fi vibe, whom I love dearly. So all in all, this all sounds quite wonderful. Zauner is adapting the screenplay and will also play a part in the film's music. For now, go read the book and go listen to Japanese Breakfast. You won't be disappointed. Next up, we have the weird, weird world of Shazam Fury of the Gods. Obviously, as I said last week, I really enjoyed it. Thought it was a really fun family movie. But after a not-so-stellar opening weekend for the movie across the world, like we're talking pretty bad bomb levels, all sorts of stories are leaking out in the Hollywood trades. With the biggest one being that Dwayne Johnson stopped any of his co-stars from Black Adam from making an appearance in the Shazam 2 post-credit scenes. 3 days before the shooting was to begin. This was backed up on Instagram by Shazam star Zachary Levy, who not only confirmed this, but also said The Rock said no to Levy appearing in Black Adam as Shazam, due to the fact that he wanted Black Adam and Henry Cavill's Superman to be the rivals, not the lower tier Shazam. And we all know what happened next. James Gunn and Peter Safran became heads of DC with their new soft DC reboot, and Cavill and Johnson departed quietly. It's all a bit messy. It's all a bit weird, blaming The Rock for a film underperforming. Zachary Levy, just, what are you doing, man? Like, it's just not cool. Just shaming The Rock? What? I've no idea what's going on. They've lost their minds. Ultimately, it ain't looking good for Shazam 3 unless he turns up on TV in some form. But right now, the DC shit show continues. Everybody's pointing at everybody. He did it, she did it, they did it. Man, just get off Twitter, the lot of you, and Instagram, and just back away and let's wait for the reboot and see what happens. Whoa, crazy people. Dwayne Johnson, stay well away from this madness. Do not reply to any of it. You weren't even in the bloody movie and you're being shamed. Oh, man. Anyway. Scapegoats are us. Oh, did I mention Zachary Levy is also best mates with the new DC man, Peter Safran? I'm embarrassed for you all. I'm embarrassed. And our third thing, we'll keep the last one low-key because there's too much happening. There's too much madness. Apple TV look like they're considering putting in a bid for, yes, the Premier League TV rights. Oh, very intriguing. Let the battle begin in the years ahead between Sky, Amazon, Apple. You can see what's going on here. very intriguing times. And who's sitting back and putting their feet up? Yes, the Premier League saying, show us the money. Oh, so much money, so much money. But enough talk of Premier League. 10 games to go. We're just not going to talk about it. One game at a time, sweet Jesus. One game at a time. And that is your three things. And that is your podcast. And that is your weekend sorted. I'm going to go have a cup of tea, have some cream crackers and easy singles, and decide where to begin with all this TV and cinema to watch and music to listen to. Bloody hell. We will survive. We will get through it together. Okay. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast. Wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Well, hello there, my post-credit chums. Welcome back to the Thunderdome. Oh, yeah. Where the topic can veer in many a surprising direction. And this week, let's talk album listening parties. Oh, my lord. It's currently, just after midnight here. And as we pass from Thursday to Friday, I'm just home from the listening party, as I mentioned earlier, for Fall Out Boy's new album, So Much for Stardust. And what a treat it was. Oh my God. I have never attended a public listening party ever in my whole life. In all those many days, my listening parties usually involved me on the couch with a cup of tea at midnight listening to new tunes. But hey, this is Fall Out Boy. It was flagged to me early. Thanks, Tony. And it sounded fun. And what fun it was. Despite my emo pop punk nieces having to bail at the last minute, shame on you kids, shame on you kids, I decided to embrace the madness and go anyways. And I'm just want to say, so glad I did. There were about 60 to 70 like-minded fans in the Workman's, all buzzing with low-key excitement for shit to kick off. It was both weird and amazing to be in a small room filled with strangers, all embracing something they love, but yet had never heard. And I'm just here for this experience. It was glorious. People danced, people sat, people pondered, people just hung with their people. Young, old, it didn't matter. We were all there for Fall Out Boy, and well, it was quite emotional. Some would say it was quite emo. Fair play to Warner Music Ireland. It was so well thrown together. Everyone, when you arrived, got a free print to take home. Beautiful, beautiful poster. And throughout the album, tunes being played, voice notes had been sent by the band to introduce the various tracks. If you are into a band and you hear of an album listening party, just do it. Your people will be there and they'll be waiting for you. For now, I'm off to the couch with my cup of tea to have another listen to Fall Out Boy's So Much Stardust. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. And just to say, Tony, when My Chemical Romance finally get their finger out and record that new album, I'll be banging down that listening party door. Good rockin' tunage times. So till next week, it would be rude not, after all that shy talk, to sign off with the boys.